Morning, everyone. God bless each one of you. It's good to be here. I'm very thankful to finally make it to the Concord Church here. I've been wanting to visit you all for many years, but it somehow seems that Allen County always finds out that we're coming and then they invite us over and just haven't made it over. We're looking forward to getting to know some of you a little bit better. I know a very few of you, but one thing, when you preach or when you minister, a lot of times what happens is you all get to know us a little bit better than we get to know you. So a lot of times people come up to me and greet me by name and I don't know their names, so forgive us for that when that does happen, but I wish I could get to know you all in a better way, in a deeper way also. So, yeah, why don't we all bow for a word of prayer? We'll get into it. Our Heavenly Father and merciful Lord, we come before you this morning and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your Son that you gave to save us from our sins. Lord, that we could be restored with a right relationship with you again. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the church. Thank you that we can be part of the same family of God, although far apart in location, yet part of the same family of God. I thank you for that mystery that we are able to be partakers of your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would bless each heart in here, every soul that is represented in here. As we heard yesterday, the worth of a soul is worth so much. And I pray every single soul in here would be blessed and watered, edified and encouraged today through your Holy Spirit. May you use me as a vessel to increase faith in this body of believers and increase my faith too, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, as I thought about what to share, the message that I want to share today is on thankfulness. And since I don't know a lot of you and you don't know us, I thought it'd be good for me to just introduce my family and I and give a short testimony of who we are and where we come from, and without going too far deep into that, but at least you have a little bit of information about us. So I'm Ben Nelson and my wife is Samantha Nelson. We have been married for 10 years, going on 11, is that right? Yeah, going on 11. And we were born again before we got married. I was born again shortly before marriage, and she grew up in a Christian home. She got born again at a young age. Her father was a pastor at a different church. And so she got saved early on, and I got saved shortly before our marriage around the age of 22, and we got married when I was 25. And so the Lord has blessed us, and it's been a blessing to be able to have a marriage that's built on that rock that we heard about this morning, the rock of Jesus Christ. Except a man build a house, they labor in vain, or except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And I can say, I can give the testimony, the Lord is building our house and has built our house. And I know that we don't labor in vain. So that's a blessing. So we have four children. My oldest daughter is Lydia. And I always say to her, she is the daughter of my strength. Because I was in the prime of life when we had her. Samantha and I both were in the prime of life when we had her. So she's the daughter of our strength, we tell her. And it shows in her work ethic. If you want to get a job done, ask the little 9-year-old. She'll get it done. Whether it's a chore or dishes or you want to get it done, you just ask her, and she sure is the daughter of our strength. And so, just a little example, not only does she get work done, but she's pretty disciplined too. A few nights ago, we were eating ice cream as a family. We were having family snacks, and we had a pumpkin ice cream, kind of a special time of year to have pumpkin ice cream. And she wouldn't have any, and we asked her why, and she said, well, her and her friends had made a deal that they weren't going to do any sugar. And I thought, well, that's good for her discipline for a little 9-year-old. I never would have thought about that. But so here we are eating ice cream, and she had apples. That's still good too. So, and then my second daughter is Tirza. She is 8. A few weeks ago, I preached for a migrant service for somebody translated for me. I preached for a group of migrant workers, and I accidentally told them that she was 6, and that was a mistake. So correct it this time. She's 8 years old. She's also a blessing. She is our generous one. She will give the shirt off her back for anyone, and if she had a handful of candies right now, she would savor the one, and she would give all the rest of the way to the children in here. I'm confident about that. That's just her character. And then Sophia is 6. She's my youngest girl, and her name means wisdom. And it suits her. She is a wise little girl, very smart. She excels in school, and especially in reading. And we have a rule in our home that at the age of 5, you get a Bible, not just a children's Bible, an actual Bible. And you can't bring the Bible to church, though, until you've read Genesis. And so she turned 6. She turned 6 in September, and she started reading out of her Bible, and she's in Genesis chapter 23 right now, and she does it on her own. So she's a smart little girl, and we're blessed to have her. So God bless you girls. Just want to bless them. And then we have a little buddy. His name is Benji. He's our youngest child, and he's our first boy. And what a difference it is from a girl to a boy. Like, we had 3 girls in a row, so that was just kind of what we were used to. And then when we had a little boy, we really noticed a big difference. We have been praying for a boy. We love each and every one of our girls, and if we had had another girl, that would have been a blessing too, but we have been praying for a boy, especially Samantha. She was longing for a little man. And so we went to our first ultrasound, and we seen the little baby and heard the heartbeat, and that was a blessing. And then we went to the second ultrasound where we could find out the gender, and we did. We found out the gender, and the nurse told us we were having a little boy. So we thought that was an answered prayer. And so we went out of the ultrasound room and started walking down the hallway out the hospital to try to find the exit, and Samantha starts crying. And so I put my arms around her and I said, I guess my honey didn't want a boy after all. But I guess I was wrong with that judgment. It was tears of joy. And she had her answered prayer. And we as a family are blessed to have him in our life. I think all of our children really do love him. And we love all of our children, but he's a special addition to our family. And so we have one more on the way. We have a little buddy coming, Lord willing, in December. And so we are blessed, and we recognize that. And we desire nothing more than to be a blessing as we receive a blessing from the Lord, but then also to be a blessing to others, especially in the family of God. And it was mentioned this morning about the love for the church that Brother Paul and his wife have, and I feel the same love for the church. And if we can be a blessing to the church, that is our goal, that is our aim here in this life. So when Brother Paul asked me to preach, well, he found out we were coming to the homeschool conference, and yeah, I was excited to say yes to it, because I know how much you've labored to put the homeschool conference together, and if we can help ease the burden, we would love to do that. And so then we have one more family back at home. That's the Pilgrim Church in Comber, and they have been a huge blessing to us. They have been there for us almost from the beginning, from the earlier years of our pilgrimage. Some of you might be familiar with the Comber Church, most of you, I'm sure. They have been a very big blessing to us. And we would not be where we are today if it wasn't for them. If it wasn't for our faithful group of believers who loved each other through the thick and the thin. And I know they have gone through the thick and the thin But there's been a core group of believers who stayed firm and kept their love for God and love for each other. And so we came into the Pilgrim Church shortly after, I guess, there was a thin. And we loved it. And I would just encourage every one of us here to embrace your local church body. Embrace one another, love one another, encourage one another, and build each other up. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. And so I just encourage you with that. Let brotherly love continue. Continue to be there for each other and bless one another. And like we shared this morning, keep a humble attitude so that when we rub each other the wrong way, we can stay calm and we can grow instead of get offended. So we came out of a different setting. About 7 or 8 years ago, we came out of a, I don't know if what exactly you would call it, maybe a more of a Baptist type setting, liberal Mennonite Baptist type setting. And I'm not here to say anything negative about that. I got born again under their teaching. I came out of the world and I went to that church and I got born again there, and I'm very thankful for that. But as I began to study our Anabaptist history, I studied the Martyr's Mirror, early church history. I listened to quite a few of Moses and Denny's messages, and I also met some brothers from the Pilgrim Church in Comber, and it just felt like the Lord wanted us to move on from where we were, and so we did. We moved on. We found a church that had a deeper walk with God, and so we went in there and we attended there, and we were encouraged and blessed. And the final draw for us when we left the other church was when we had our first child. That was Lydia. And I always like to think 10 years from now. I always like to think, what's it going to look like in 10 years from now? And I had that little special little girl in my hands and my arms, and Samantha and I both, we just wondered, how would we approach it in 10 years from now when my little sweetheart would ask me questions that I wouldn't know how to answer. Like, Daddy, why can't I wear makeup? Or why can't I wear jewelry? Or Daddy, why can't I do what my friends do? Because we kind of stood out from where we were, and it was against the grain, and Samantha and I could do it for a little bit, but we didn't think we would be able to do it with a family. And so that was the last draw for us. We had a special girl, and we made decisions based on our children. How could we expect a young child to stand where we could hardly stand? And so I looked 10 years from now. And I still make decisions that way. The decisions we make today are based on what I perceive they would be in 10 years from now, 5 years from now. What's this going to look like? And I would encourage us to do the same, to look at the future. Don't just think about the here and the now, but look at the decisions we make. Where is that going to lead us? Where are we going to go if we continue in this path? So we made that decision to leave the church and attend the Pilgrim Church. And that was a blessing, a very big blessing. And to just share a short story here, the very first message we heard, Brother Henry was preaching on modesty. And we had a lot to learn still about modesty. We still do. Modesty, there's a lot to be said about modesty, and it's not all outward, but there's inward and outward. There's a lot to be said, and we still have a lot to learn. But at that point, we for sure would have had a lot to learn. And Brother Henry, if you heard him preach, he preaches with passion, he preaches with zeal, and especially 10 years ago, I would say even more so. But we went to the first message, and he started preaching on modesty, and he preached hard. And all the brothers and sisters, it would have been about a group like this. It was a smaller church then. It would have been about a group like this, and we came in as strangers. And he's preaching, and he's preaching hard. And he gave the example of why modesty. Some people are still Christians, but they don't dress modestly, so why can't we? And I remember the example he gave. He said, it's like running with a grenade in your hand. So they're running the race of faith, and so are we. And so he gave the example that to be in an immodest state and not care about that part of our Christian life would be like running a race, and then if you fell, the hand grenade would blow up. And he preached hard. And everybody in the congregation was kind of looking at us, and like we still had a lot to learn, right? And I think they were kind of maybe wishing Henry wouldn't preach so strongly. But I'm telling you, we were encouraged. We were blessed. We were encouraged. And I love the truth, and even if it's a hard truth. And truth must be. And if we're willing to receive the truth, then we're going to be able to grow in our faith, even if it's hard. And so with that, I want to encourage all of us too, to be able to receive the hard truth. Sometimes I've heard it said that truth without love kills, and I believe that's true. So those that are giving the truth, let's be careful to give it with love. But those who are receiving the truth, receive it no matter what. If it's truth, receive it. With meekness, receive it. With gladness, and if it hurts, I think it's okay to approach the brother or sister that gave it in a harsh way. But regardless, truth must be, and the truth will set you free. And so, just want to encourage us all with that. Proverbs 1 verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. So let us be wise. And so we still have much to learn. We as a family, we still consider ourselves in many ways babes in Christ, but we endeavor to give our heart to the Lord daily and serve Him with the little giftings that we do have. If it's not much, but we're going to give it to the Lord. And I've learned that the school of life is sometimes a hard teacher. We have much to grow, and we've started a race, but we have not yet finished the race. And we endeavor to finish triumphantly with Jesus Christ at our side. Hebrews 12 verse 4 says, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." And so we understand we've started the race, but we have not yet finished. We have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. There's still maybe many challenges ahead of us, but by God's grace, we can and we plan to continue. And we are experiencing His grace every day. Just a verse that I wanted to use for encouraging endurance is out of Hebrews 12, verses 2. It says there, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So with that brief testimony, I hope that it can be an encouragement for us to just continue to strive to enter in and thank the Lord for the good things that He's done for you and He is doing for you, and that would just be a blessing to you. So out of the meditation on thankfulness, I was going to read out of Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. So if those of you have a Bible, I just encourage you to turn there. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, and we'll read all the way up to 14. It says there, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart shall be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So with those verses, I'd like to expound on them and share a message out of it. And the reason I was thinking about thankfulness is because of the season that we're in. We have just celebrated Thanksgiving in Canada 2 weeks ago. It was Thanksgiving for us. And I believe for you it's November 28th. Is that correct? It's November 28th is Thanksgiving from what I just Googled. And so I want us to consider Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. I want us to consider his provisions and how he provides for us day by day. Consider it, first of all, in the physical things. Think about the crops that are being harvested right now. There's an abundance of food that the farmers have been taking off of the crops, and we're blessed thereby. For us in Canada, we have an abundance of tomato fields. And normally when you get a good bumper crop, you get about 40 tons per acre. And that's a lot. They produce a very high yield. This year I heard that there was up to 60 tons per acre on some fields. So they produced a bumper crop, and the Lord has provided for us richly. I don't know what the crops all are out here, but it seems like there's not many crop failures. If there haven't been bumper crops, I'm sure that you're still receiving a bountiful harvest. And so thank the Lord for that. We had, a few weeks ago, I was able to have a slaughtering day for, we slaughtered turkeys with a young man from our church. His name is Elton. He raised turkeys for us, and we were able to go to his house, and I was able to teach him how to dress a turkey, and it was a good time of just bonding with some of the young people. And again, we were able to fill our freezers with turkey meat. And so the Lord is providing, and we thank him for that. It's also hunting season. Was able to stay the night at Malin and Renee's, and the young Clayton was able to shoot a deer. I'm not sure if any of you heard that, but he was excited about it, and we were eating deer jerky, and that was a blessing. And a man brought me a bag of moose to my office the other day. He said, "Thank you for the services that you provide," and he brought me a bag of moose meat. And so we have it good, and the Lord is providing, and we can say, "Thank you, Lord," and we can bless the Lord for the good things that he's given to us. We have goodly houses, and I don't think that we have mansions, but we have goodly houses. I drive around. Yesterday after the homeschool conference, we were driving around, and I can see that for the most part, there are goodly houses built here. And the Lord has blessed you. And it's the same for us back home in Canada. We're not, I would say, living it up and living in mansions, but we have goodly homes. And compared to most in the world, we have it good. And we can be thankful for that. We have clean water. We have wells that are supplying an abundance of water, clean water. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And yet we have so much more than food and raiment. Are we content? Are we happy? Are we thankful? I believe that God delights in blessing his children. But the weakness of humanity is that we take undue credit for ourselves. As though we were the ones who brought about our own prosperity. And thus, we have a tendency to forget God. We might say, I'm a hard worker. I'm a Mennonite. And I realize that a lot of Mennonites are hard workers. And we can have God to thank for that. He's the one who brought us up. He's the one who created us. We cannot say that we have accomplished what we've accomplished, but God has made us who we are. God has blessed us. God has prospered us. And we need to remember that and give God the glory and not our Mennonite heritage. You might say something like, I'm skillful. Look what my hands have made. And I realize that there is a lot of skill. Even among the Anabaptist community, there's a lot of skillful people. But it's God's blessing on us. And others look on, even the world, they would look on. And I think many of them see it, that it's God's blessing on us. But sometimes we ourselves don't give God the credit where we should. It's easy for us to forget. Sometimes we might say, well, I'm a good manager, that's why my business has prospered. Look at what I have built. Look at the businesses that I've built. But then we need to remember Nebuchadnezzar when he went out and boasted about all he had built and he became a beast in the field. Obviously, it was God's blessing on him. And obviously, if things are going well with us, it is God's blessing on us. And we can have God to thank for that. It's so easy for us to forget that anything that we prosper in has everything to do with an almighty God and a loving Heavenly Father. He has blessed us, and so we ought to bless Him. I looked up that word in verse 10. How can we bless the Lord our God? It says there, when thou hast eaten and art filled, then bless the Lord thy God. How can we bless the Lord our God? And I looked up that word, and it had in there to kneel before God. We can bless the Lord our God when we kneel before Him in thanksgiving. I think that's the context of that verse. When Samantha and I first got married, we had one of the most brutal winters that I can remember. It was the winter of 2014, and it was constantly minus 17 to minus 25. And I was a roofer. That was my occupation. And so winters were always off for me, but if I could work, then I would. But there was no working for me in the first year of our marriage. It was a little bit, but not roofing. And so we got married in December of 2013, and the winter of 2014 was brutal. And we had $5,000 to our name. And that's how we started our marriage. I had a house, so that was a blessing. We had each a vehicle, so that was a blessing. But in cash, we had $5,000 to our name and no job. And so we needed to make it through the winter. And I was able to work odd jobs, framing. I helped Brother Jake Friesen on some framing jobs. I remember sheeting a roof and shoveling the snow off and getting up there in minus 15, minus 20 degree weather. And it was not easy. But I remember the weight that I had on me as a new husband, as a new provider. And every time when we went grocery shopping and we came back home with our hands loaded full of grocery bags and we filled the fridge, we were thankful. We were very thankful. Especially, I will say, I was thankful. I'm sure my wife was thankful too, but I was thankful. Because it's my responsibility to provide for the home according to God. And so I was thankful. I remember every time we walked in with groceries, I thanked God. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us again. And He has. He's been faithful. He's provided over and over again. Now over the years, we've prospered, I would say, physically. And I think it's a normal thing when you first get married and you're starting off with this small home and you're starting off in maybe a new business or whatever it is, it might be a little bit harder at first, but eventually you grow in assets and in physical wealth. I'll just say it that way. And so over the years we've prospered, but I still endeavor to keep the heart of gratitude, as I did in the beginning. But I'll just say it truthfully, it's a little bit harder sometimes. Sometimes I forget. And that's not okay. But it seems like it's just a natural human tendency to forget him when things go well with us. He's provided 10 years consistently, and suddenly we start forgetting that it's him that provides. But he does. It's still him, and we still thank him, and we still bless him. And so, for this reason, I count it joy when things don't go so well with us. Perhaps if there's a time of scarcity. I'm not sure how it's been here, but in the last few years in Canada, the economy has really slowed down. There's been many a business that has that was prospering well until 2023 hit, and everything slowed down drastically. But you know what happened? People got nicer. I'll just say it how it is. People got nicer. Faith increased when things didn't go so well. And just to be honest, there were also more robberies. So crime has also increased. I'll just say it, just give you the whole truth. People got nicer. Faith has increased in the churches, in the community, amongst the construction men of the community. Faith has increased. But also we got to watch our backyards so that our trailers don't get robbed or our tools don't get robbed. It seems like that has happened also. But let's focus on the fact that people got nicer and faith increased. Because when you feel the constant pressure of demand, I don't know how the economy is here, but before 2023, there was such a pressure to get work done. There was such a demand that you hardly had time to put a smile on and stop and say hi and stop and have a meeting and just take time for relationships. It was difficult. It really was. And it's because it was the mindset of it's all business right now. There's a demand, we need to fulfill it, and we're under the pressure, and it's all business right now. I would like to share a short testimony of what happened to me in 2022. So in 2022 was probably the peak of busyness for businesses in Canada. It was right after COVID, and a lot of money got printed, and economy was high, and the demand was high, and I felt the pressure. I owned a construction business. We built steel buildings, and it just seemed like it couldn't get enough done. I set the men in order to build a building. We were doing a roof on a building. It was a 120,000 square foot building, steel building. It had a 30-foot eaves, and it went to about a 40-foot peak. And it was winter, it was February. And I set the men up, put things in order, and went to leadership seminar or Kingdom Discipleship for Men for the week. And I was a prayer group leader there. And one of the young men prayed for humility. And I get a little bit uncomfortable when people pray for humility because I've experienced God answering that very quickly. I've prayed for humility, and God answers it, and he knows how to humble someone. But here he is, he's praying for humility, and one by one, everyone in my prayer group was praying for humility. And then it was my turn to pray, and I remember praying to say, Lord, these young men are asking for humility, and I do pray that you would grant it to us, but please give us mercy to go along with it. And when we pray for humility, we need to pray for mercy to go along with it. And so we all had this prayer meeting about the Lord giving us humility. And when I went out of that prayer meeting, I had about 6 missed calls from my business partner. And my wife also called me, so I knew something was serious. And I picked up the phone. I finally called him back, and he's panicking. He says, Ben, my brother fell off the roof. I don't think he's going to make it. He was 34 feet high, and he fell onto a frozen frozen solid ground, and he had cut his heart artery open, and he had broken his face, and he had broken his hip, and he had broken his wrist, and he was a mess on the ground. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't think I should fly back or go back, and I wasn't going to be able to do anything anyway. But I called each of my men up just to see how they were doing. I called Abe, that was his brother. I called just to ask him how he was doing, and wasn't doing good. I called Jake, he was one of the crew leaders, and he wasn't doing good. But I tried to give encouragement where I could. I called Joel, he had seen it, and he says, I'm not going back up there. And so, trying to give them all encouragement, and my crew was all with their guts hanging out too, emotionally. We got back, and remember this was February, we're on the lake. We were building a big warehouse on the lake, there's a lot of wind. It was a hard job, and I bless my men for risking their lives every day to do that kind of work. But they just weren't going back up there. They seen their coworker half dead on the ground. They just weren't going back up there. And I understood that, but it was my responsibility to still get this job done. It wasn't, so that job got shut down. The Ministry of Labor shut it down, did an investigation. Long story short, about a week later, Ministry of Labor released the job. We could get back to work. And I had my contractors call me right away again. The same sort of pressure that was on before. Hey, when are you going to get this job done? We got to get on there right away. Meanwhile, I couldn't get any of my men up there because they were all frightened. They were scared. They were traumatized. But the pressure was still there. And that really revealed to me that I want out. Like, somebody, this pressure is too much. I remember begging that the economy would slow down. I remember just wishing that would happen. And 2023 came, and I think most businesses were to about 30% of what they had. And I thank the Lord for it. I really do. Because people got nicer. These people who put all that pressure on, when that supply and demand is so high, and you just can't keep up, it does something to our faith. It does something to us. It puts a pressure on us where we don't have time for each other like we should. And so I give God the glory for not only humbling us, but giving us mercy as he does it. And the Lord does a very good job at humbling us. I just want to encourage us, if we pray, pray for mercy too. And James 1 verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." We look at the difficult things that we go through in life, and we can be assured, we can be sure of one thing, that God's desire is for us to, in the end, be wanting in nothing. His desire is for our good. Deuteronomy 8:16 says, "Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end." God wants to bless us. And if he takes us through difficult things, it is so that he can do us good in our latter end. God blesses us as a father would bless his children, but yet far more. The Bible says that if we as fathers know how to give our children good gifts, how much more will our heavenly Father not give us the Holy Spirit when we ask for it? God wants to bless us, not only with physical provisions, but he wants to bless us eternally. And we need to believe that, because he loves us. But if we forget him who loves us, then it is also God that will bring us through trials, because he loves us. In hopes to bring us back to our senses, to bring us back to our first love, to do thee good at thy latter end. So, Our construction businesses in Leamington have really slowed down in the last 1.5 years. But I can say it's been a blessing and a faith builder. It's been a faith builder to us. When we run short on work, we pray and the Lord gives us work. And it just seems to be a consistent testimony. And it's happened to a point where we don't get anxious about that anymore. We just trust in the Lord. There's a company, so since that construction incident that I had, I determined to pull out from steel buildings. It was always a dangerous job. It's serious work. You have men 30 feet in the air all the time, lifting up heavy beams. And so I'm kind of getting out of my prime, so I wasn't that excited about it anymore. My elbows are starting to hurt. And tried to have a different vision, and I asked the men if they would be okay if we started roll forming. So trying to start transitioning into a manufacturing. And they were all good with that. So we made a transition over the last year and a half. And so now I'm in the manufacturing side, and I get to feed these construction companies with steel and trims. And so I get to connect with a lot of little builders in our area. We have about 30 construction companies, just all their cards lined up on our desk, and I get to advertise for them, and they buy steel from us. And we get leads. A lot of times people ask us if we know installers, and we made a rule that we're not going to install our own steel, so instead of that, we give them to the contractors on our desk. But things have been slow. They're not super busy. And so you have the contractor starting to ask you, hey, do you have any leads? Do you have any work? One specific man that I'm thinking about right now, he asked me for work, and I could tell it was out of desperation. He had a business that was doing well, and he was a framer, and framing crashed, and he was just looking for anything. He laid off most of his men, and it was just him and his brother left, and he was asking out of desperation. And so what I told him is what I do. When I run low, I told him, usually when I'm in that situation, I pray, and then the Lord gives us something, almost right away. And he didn't answer that for like a day or two. But then all of a sudden he answered back and he said, yeah, I need to do that too. And I would say 2 years ago, when things were flying, he would never have considered that. But now he was open to that. It's a faith builder. And then a father came into my shop last week and out came his 3-year-old son, and he's crawling, and we're loading up a little thing of steel, a little bundle of steel, and his son is crawling all over his trailer and on his truck and just loving the time that he gets to spend with dad. I will say 2 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. It was too busy. You can't take your little son with you. And so I even share with them, this is a blessing. You have time to take your son with you. That's a blessing. God wants to do us good in our latter end. I can talk to the Canadian English people around us, and they're more open about God than they've ever been before. We as a family can go out in town and go with a box of Bibles, a handful of tracts, and we can hand them out to people who readily receive it, who are hungry for it, within an hour. And we could do it every Friday. We did it just a few weeks ago, and then a month ago, we handed out some Bibles and some tracts, and people are ready to receive it. And it's because they have humility. They haven't been lifted up with pride because all of the stuff they possess. They haven't been lifted up with pride because of all the things that they've accomplished. They're a humble people. And so actually, these are the people that are coming from Guatemala. We have a lot of migrant workers in Guatemala who have not been able to establish themselves, and they are truly the humble of the land, but they receive Hispanic literature gratefully. And I believe it's because of just that. So finally, my point would be that the economic crash that we've seen in Canada, it has been a blessing to our community. It really has. We have billionaire businessmen who are twiddling their thumbs, not knowing what to do. And so they buy big church buildings, and they set it up for feeding the homeless and Alcoholics Anonymous. And so they're trying to reach out to the community. And they're all Christian, professing Christian men, but they finally have time to do something with their wealth, something good and something valuable. We actually work through CAM, and we use that building now to teach about 20 migrant workers, Guatemalans and Mexicans, that come every Sunday to teach them Bible studies in Spanish. So it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to us as a family because I'm not under the constant pressure of impatient and unhappy customers. So we see that blessing. It's been a blessing to the churches because brothers have time for each other again. About a year and a half ago, when things first started crashing, before we would never have had time to just everybody take off and go have a barbecue or somewhere. But I remember I could clearly tell just from what I was hearing from amongst the brotherhood that a lot of people weren't doing a whole lot. And so one Friday I asked on the church group who all wanted to join us for a barbecue at church. It was a Friday. You know, everybody should be busy, right? But we had a lot of people come out and just join us and had a good time of bonding with the brothers and some of the young people, just because we could have time to have a barbecue again and get together and build relationships again. That was a blessing. Christians have time for the Lord again. They've reevaluated their lives and they see their need for a deeper walk with God. And so I agree with Proverbs 30, verse 7. It says there, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." So when things go well with you, brothers and sisters, remember the Lord your God. And if you forget the Lord your God, then don't be surprised if the Lord your God will do something to draw you back. If he brings something in your life to draw you back, so that it will go well with you in the latter end. I heard of a testimony from a brother from church. He went to a weekend of Christian teachings on how to run businesses. And the preacher was sharing that he meets two different types of people when sharing a business at a business seminar where he's trying to encourage people to build their businesses up on a good foundation of Jesus Christ and use it for the Lord. But he says he meets two different types of people. He says he meets happy people and he meets grumpy people. And he says the difference is always the same. The one people are thankful and the other people are not thankful. I thought that was a very, very practical and interesting observation. And that doesn't apply just to business owners, that applies to everyone. There are two groups of people, those that are happy and those that are grumpy, those that are thankful and those that are not thankful. So let thankfulness abound in our hearts, because gratitude flows out of a humble heart. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Gratitude flows from a humble heart. Gratitude flows from a heart that is content with what he has. Those that are content have peace. Sometimes we need to count our blessings to see what God has done so that we can become thankful again. I want to give the example of thankfulness being like a sacrifice that we give to God. In the Old Testament, they gave different offerings for thanksgiving, for the offering of thankfulness. They gave different offerings, but today, just having a thankful heart is already a sacrifice to God. And if you consider us as fathers and mothers, you make sacrifices for your children every day. I saw a picture of a farmer. He was maybe mid-40s. He was working hard all day. He was dirty. He had his hands on a fence. And he was overlooking his flock. And beside him was a little boy. He was 5 years old. And the picture really showed the father's hands. They were cracked knuckles. There was blood. He had cut himself through the days of hard work. He was dirty, and he was just looking over the fence at his pasture and at the work he had accomplished for the day. And the little boy looks up to him, and he says, "Father, do your hands hurt?" And the father said, "Son, are you hungry?" And the son says, "No, Father, not at all." And then the father says, "My hands don't hurt. My hands don't hurt, son." What more would you want as a father than to just hear, "Thanks, Dad"? Not all we want. We provide for our homes. It is our God-given duty. We will die for our family. We will do what it takes to provide. We don't need them to pay us anything. We don't need to give them us anything. But if they're thankful, it's a wonderful sacrifice. And that's all we need. And if they say that they're not hungry, my hands don't hurt. I'm not in no pain. All a father wants to hear is thanks, Dad. And I thought about the mothers. Maybe it's the same for you. You labor night and day. The sleepless nights. They hardly ever get recognized. The diapers that get changed, the laundry that gets cleaned, the meals that get cooked, they hardly ever get recognized. Things go well in the home, but nobody sees the hard work that went into it. We come home as husbands and fathers, everything's in order most of the time. And we don't see what happened underneath. And I'm sure all you want to hear is thanks, Mama, from your children. And I thought of the verse from Proverbs 31:28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. I think all mamas want to hear is they want to feel the gratitude. They want to feel the appreciation. They want to maybe be recognized in a way of the hard work that they did. And I think that's okay. And I think it's important for us as fathers to teach our children to rise up and call Mama blessed. And to thank Mama for the hard work that she does. And to do the same. You know, I read something about what a mama is like. And you ever seen a duck when he's swimming across the pond? It looks so beautiful, almost effortlessly, just gliding across the pond. But underneath, you don't see what's happening. The duck's working hard, paddling away to make him go. I think that's what mothers are like. Things look like they're going so smooth, but we don't see the hard work that goes behind it. And all you would want to hear is thank you. I think all mothers would want is to have the hearts of their children and to have them respect and honor them for the sacrifices they've made and to show some gratitude. And I believe God feels the same way with us. We talked a lot about the physical provisions today that God gives for us. And we ought to get down on our knees and we ought to praise Him and thank Him from the bottom of our hearts for what He's done every day and every night. We ought to. We ought to bless the Lord our God for the good land which He has given us. But He has done so much more than that for us. Those are physical things. He has done so much more than that. He sent His Son to die on the cross as a sacrifice for sin so that we could be spared eternal death. In exchange, He would give us eternal life. And there's a land that is far fairer than the good land which He has given us here. that we look forward to, and that he has promised to those who remain true and faithful to him. And then through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we can have a right relationship restored with God again, our Father. He has done so much more for us than to provide our physical provisions, and we ought to bless him. We ought to get down on our knees and thank him for that. We as Christians need to be thankful. We should be the most thankful people in the world. And perhaps we are, I'm not sure. But we definitely should be the most thankful people in our world, in the world. Think about what the Lord God has done for us and give him thanks. Perhaps our journey is sometimes too easy. And then maybe God helps us with a little life lesson. And it's because of his love for us. Let's remember to thank him for his provisions, for his grace, for his mercies that are new every day. We as Christians, if anybody's thankful, it should be us. And if we forget to be thankful, then I think it's because we have lost focus. Somewhere we have forgotten the Lord our God. Somewhere, maybe in the moment, we don't remember what Christ has done for us and what God is doing for us. But it ought not to be so that we would forget. Rather, let's bless him. On our knees, give him thanks, for he is worthy. He is worthy of that and much more. So to close here, just wanted to encourage us. Remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that doth prosper thee. And how do we remember? One way is with a sacrificial offering of thanksgiving. We remember what he's done. And then in closing, for a closing verse, I just have out of Psalm 145, it says, I will extol thee, O my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Every day will I bless thee. Every day. So God bless you all. I hope that could have been an encouragement to you as it was to me. And look forward to meeting some of you this afternoon.